Seven times in the Bible, we find the word religion mentioned. Only seven times. That is a very shocking thing to the common observer, to realize that the word religion is mentioned in a bad connotation six of those seven times. Now, when we use the word religion, we would think of something good immediately. You ask a person, are you saved? Oh, yes, I belong to religion. I'm a very religious person. We think of the word religious as being a good word, but not so in the Word of God. In the Word of God, the word religion is six times out of seven mentioned as something bad. The only time that religion is mentioned with a good connotation is in James chapter 1, where the apostle says, pure religion and undefiled before God and the Father is this, to visit the sick and the widows in their affliction and keep himself unspotted from the world. Now, that is the only time in all the Bible where the word religion is mentioned as something good. Now listen carefully, everyone listening. Religion will send more people to hell than liquor. More people will be in hell because of religion, because they were religious, than of any single reason in the world. May I say this by way of introducing my message, and that is this. Religion and Christ are in opposition to each other. Religion says man must do something to get to heaven, join something to get to heaven, have something done to him to get to heaven. Christ says, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by me. Now let's trace religion, shall we? Religion began in the Bible in Genesis chapter 3. Adam and Eve had sinned in the Garden of Eden, and because they had, they realized they were naked and sinful before God. They had eaten the tree of the knowledge of good and evil. When they did, they tried to sew themselves fig leaves. They made for themselves coverings to cover their nakedness. In so doing, they were making themselves a covering for their sin. God came, he killed an animal, he brought from that animal a coat of skins, and God offered to Adam and Eve a coat that he made, a coat made with the shedding of blood, a coat made with the slaying of an animal. And God gave to Adam and Eve that coat as a covering for their sins. Now, listen carefully. Religion began by a man trying to cover himself without a blood sacrifice. The fig leaves. The fig leaves were not made of a blood sacrifice. But God's law, God's divine law is this. Blood must be shed for sin. Either you must pay the price for your own sin by being plunged into hell forever, or you must have an innocent sacrifice to die for your sins. It's always been that way. There must be blood shed for sins. All right? Adam and Eve were naked. They realized they were naked. By the way, let me stop and say this. The more heathen a nation gets, the less clothes she wears in public. Now, a lot of us tried to warn you our nation was headed toward nudity when we said ladies shouldn't wear shorts in public. And you laughed at us. You said we were fanatical. But as our nation has deteriorated and left the God of the Bible and the Bible of the true God, she has taken off more clothes and more clothes and more clothes, till now it is nothing unusual to hear of nude bathing. Over in Chicago University, for example, recently, in fact, they've already had it or may be going to have it soon, they're having a draw-in whereby they strip naked and men and women draw pictures on each other's nude bodies. Right over here in University of Chicago. Now, Adam and Eve, realizing they were naked, made themselves covering for sin. Now, you cannot cover your own sin. God must initiate the reconciliation between the sinner and a holy God. Now listen, it is always the sinned against that must initiate reconciliation. The sinner does not find his way back to the sinned against. It is the one who is offended who must initiate reconciliation. God made from a slain animal a coat for Adam and a coat for Eve. Religion was not enough. Making their own covering was not enough. They had to receive the covering that God had made for them. Religion began in Genesis chapter 3. Religion continues in Genesis chapter 4. We read about it just a while ago. Cain and Abel, the sons of Adam and Eve, were in the field. They decided to come and bring their offerings to God. Abel brought of a blood sacrifice. He brought an animal. He killed that animal. The blood was shed, and he brought that bloody sacrifice as an offering to God, not Cain. Cain brought some green beans, dandelions, gladiolas, squash, turnip greens. He brought sacrifice of the field. Now bear in mind, that's exactly what Adam and Eve had done. They brought a covering they made from the field. God brought a covering he made from the sacrifice. And Adam and Eve were saved when they reached out and took the covering that God had brought because of the shedding of blood. Now, why was Cain killed and his offering Cain lost and his offering rejected? And why was Abel saved and his offering accepted? Because the same reason Adam and Eve had to be covered by blood sacrifice. God does not accept any sacrifice that does not require the shedding of the blood of an innocent substitute. Now, Cain was religious. He believed in God. He believed in sacrificing. He believed in giving. He believed in coming to church. He was religious. But the Bible says he died and went to hell. Abel was not necessarily more religious than Cain, but Abel brought of a blood sacrifice. Now that's why joining the church won't get you to heaven, because you have to have a blood sacrifice. That's why living a good life won't get you to heaven. You've got to have a blood sacrifice. That's why turning over a new leaf won't get you to heaven. You've got to have a blood sacrifice. That's why being confirmed won't get you to heaven. You've got to have a blood sacrifice. That's why being sprinkled as a baby won't get you to heaven. You've got to have a blood sacrifice. So, Cain was refused. Abel was accepted. Why? Because Abel was a better man than Cain? No. Because Abel was a nicer guy? No. Because Abel had accepted God's provision of a blood sacrifice. Now listen carefully. You will not go to heaven because you're better than somebody else. The honest, simple truth is, a lot of folks will be in hell who are better than a lot of people who go to heaven. Did you hear what I said? A lot of people will walk the golden streets and enjoy the joys of heaven who were not as good as some people who will burn in hell forever. Why? Because the difference is not how good or how bad you are, but did you meet God's condition? And God's condition is a blood sacrifice. And that's what John the Baptist meant when he stood on the banks of the Jordan River and said, "Behold, the Lamb of God that taketh away the sin of the world." He pointed to Jesus Christ and said, "There's a Lamb that someday will be slain, and that Lamb will shed his blood. And all who turn to him for forgiveness of sin and salvation will be saved." Now listen, you're not going to heaven because you're a Baptist. You're not going to heaven because you're a Catholic. You can trot down to the Catholic Church, and you can confess all your sins to the priest and write him a check for every dime you've got. He can absolve and cross his bosom all he wants to, and you can cross your bosom all you want to. But unless you have been born of the Spirit of God by faith in the blood of Christ, you'll die and go to hell someday. You can go to the Pope in Rome and have the Pope absolve your sins. You can have the Pope cross his bosom all he wants to, but you'll die and go to hell unless you've been born again by faith in the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ. Religion, that'll take you to hell. Christ, he takes you to heaven. All right, let's go on. Religion began in the Bible. Fig leaves in Genesis chapter 3. Bloodless sacrifice in Genesis chapter 4. Now, why is it that men do not want to accept Christ and what he did? Pride. There's something in every hunk of flesh in this building that wants exaltation. I don't care who you are. Your flesh is like mine, and my flesh is like yours. We want folks to brag on us. We want to do it ourselves. When a preacher gets up and says, "You can't do anything deserving heaven," the old flesh says, "What do you mean? What do you mean? Well, I'm not so bad. I'm not so mean. I pay my debts. I'm a good neighbor. I'm a good fellow. I'm an honest man." Hell will be full of honest men whose flesh thought it could work its way to heaven and bypass the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ. So, what is it? Religion began in the Bible, fig leaves in Genesis 3, a bloodless offering by Cain in Genesis 4. Now, religion organized in Genesis chapter 11. In the 10th chapter of Genesis, a man rises on the scene whose name is Nimrod. Nimrod is a man who organizes all religions into one in Genesis chapter 11. You recall that Tower of Babel that they built in the 11th chapter of Genesis, trying to build their own way toward heaven, trying to earn heaven, trying to make a man-made salvation, and all religions organized in Genesis chapter 11, man-made work religions. Now listen. Man has been trying to build his way to heaven ever since that day. Man has been trying to earn heaven ever since that day. But let me tell you what I've said to you from this pulpit 100,000 times, I guess, and that is this. There's nothing you can do to earn heaven. There's nothing I can do to get you to heaven. There's nothing this church can do to get you to heaven. There's nothing the sacrament can do to get you to heaven. There's nothing the priest can do to get you to heaven. There's nothing the Pope can do to get you to heaven. You've got to put your faith completely in what Jesus did on the cross if you enjoy the joys of the city of heaven. There's no other way. Religion says, earn your way. Christ says, I am the way. Religion says, join a church. Christ says, I am the way. Religion says, live a good life. Christ says, I am the way. Now you say, hold it, preacher. You mean to tell me that a fella can live a life that's wicked, a life in sin, and die and go to heaven? I'm saying that the wickedness of a life has not one thing in this world to do with where you go when you die. Not one thing. There are 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8 doors to this building. Now, I don't care how good you live outside these doors, you've got to come in one of these doors to get inside. If there is safety in this building from a storm on the outside, did you ever used to have the old storm cellars? How many ever had a storm cellar? That's where you ran from the storm and got bit by a rattlesnake and died. Who was it telling me the story this morning about the fellow who decided to quit smoking? Because the doctor said, you'll die with cancer if you quit smoking. So he quit smoking and started chewing toothpicks instead and died with Dutch elm disease instead. But, louder. All right, fine. Okay. Now, I've forgotten where I was. I got off on the joke. Where was I? Well, what good are you up here if you don't know where I am? And now, I'll start anywhere I want to. You got to get born again to go to heaven, you dirty crooks. Here I am. A lot of people have the strange idea that because they live a good life, there are folks here tonight, that if I ask you, are you saved? You say, yeah, I'm saved. Well, look, how do you know? Well, I live a pretty good life. Listen, hell will be full of good people. There is only one door. Now, it doesn't matter how... Oh, I know where I was. I was going down the storm cellar. Yeah, now you know where I was. Yeah, sure. Thanks a lot, buddy. But the storm cellar. Boy, down in Texas, we only had one tree in Texas, and it didn't have any leaves on it. And, boy, you'd look out down toward the south someday, and you'd see a storm rolling up. I'll tell you, boy, you've never seen a storm. My mama says, son, let's take off. And back in the back of our house, we had a storm cellar. That's where you kept all the potatoes and the rats, you know, and the snakes and so forth. Now, a fella can be a good fella, but there's only one way to get in that storm cellar, and that's go in the door. I said, come on, Lindsay, here's the door. Get in. And Lindsay says, I'm a good fella. You'll be a good dead fella if that tornado comes through there. You see, it's going in the door that saves you. It is not being good. It's going in the door. It is not being good that gets you to heaven. It's going in the door. A lot of good people have said, no, I'll not go in the door. No, I'll not receive Christ. No, I'll not be born again. No, I'll not be converted. No, I'll not turn my life over to God through Christ. And you'll die and go to hell. I don't care how good you are. Salvation is not by your goodness. If you have enough sense to take God's way, and God's way is provided through His Son, the Lord Jesus Christ, who said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by me. So, religion organized in Genesis chapter 11, building a way to heaven. Religion continues in John chapter 3. A man came to Jesus one night, late at night, and he said, Master, we know thou art a teacher come from God, for no man can do these miracles that thou doest except God be with him. And the Lord looked at him and started off right off the bat saying, marvel not, you've got to be born again. You've got to get born again. And the fellow talked a while longer. He said, I'm a teacher of religion. I'm a Jewish teacher. I teach in the seminary. And Jesus said, you've got to get born again. Well, he said, how can a fellow get born again when he's old? Can he go back into his mother's womb and be born again like he was the first time? And the Lord said, no, that's not it at all. He said, back in the Old Testament, there was a story. In the book of Numbers, I think it was, there was a story. The Lord knew where it was. I think it was. There's a story. He said about the brazen serpent, or the serpents that came, fiery serpents, and bit the Jews. And the Jews were dying by these thousands because of the biting of these serpents. And the Lord said, Moses came to God and said, God, what can I do for my people? Spare my people. And the Lord said, Moses, I want you to take a pole, and I want you to take a piece of brass, and I want you to beat that piece of brass into a serpent. And I want you to put that serpent of brass on that pole. And I want you to lift the pole high above all the Israelites, where every Jew can see the pole and the serpent of brass on the top of the pole, and tell all the Jews that if they'll look at that serpent of brass on that pole, they'll live. Now, can you feature those Jews? Fiery serpents everywhere. I was preaching one time in the old building over here, had a row of boys about like we have right here sitting down in the front, and I said, serpents everywhere. I said, fiery serpents everywhere. I said, you open your oven in the morning and a serpent, a snake could crawl out. A lot of you dream about it tonight. I will myself. I dream about snakes a lot. That's a sign you don't have many friends. That's why I dream about snakes a lot. I said, serpents, open your oven, and a snake crawled out. You pull your cover back to go to bed at night, and the snake could crawl out, you know. And a lot of you are scared to go to bed tonight. A lot of you little children are going, Mommy, would you sleep with me? Unless the mommy says, Junior, would you sleep with me? But serpents everywhere. And I said, serpents in the house, serpents outside. I said, look at serpents. And the whole row of boys in the front pull their feet up like that. Now, that's the way it was, serpents everywhere. And the Lord said, Moses, take a piece of brass and beat that brass into a serpent and hold that brass high. And then Jesus said, now, Nicodemus, you're a teacher of the Jews. Now, you know this. You know that story. Every Jew who knows anything about the Old Testament knows that story. Now, that serpent of brass represents Jesus, and that pole represents Calvary. And our Lord said, I'm going to be lifted up, Nicodemus, on the cross. And every person bitten by the serpent, Satan, who is lost in sin on his way to hell, if you'll look to Jesus Christ on the cross, he can go to heaven. Let me say again, you don't go to heaven because you know the Bible. You don't go to heaven because you're a good man. You don't go to heaven because you belong to a church. You don't go to heaven because you got sprinkled as a baby. You don't go to heaven because you got confirmed last Easter Sunday morning or any other Easter Sunday morning. You don't go to heaven because you're a Catholic, because you could take the sacrament, because you go to Mass, because you've had communion, because you got baptized. You go to heaven because one day in your life you said, I'm a lost sinner, and I cannot save myself. And Jesus died for me, and I look to the cross and trust what he did on the cross as my hope for heaven. Everybody in this house tonight has either religion or Christ. Religion takes you to hell. I said, religion takes you to hell. I said, religion will take you to hell. I'm sick and tired of people saying, I'm not so bad, I'm a religious man. Or my boy's a good boy, he's a religious boy. So is the devil. The Bible says the devils believe and tremble. It is Christ, not religion, that takes to heaven. Religion continues in Luke chapter 18. The story is told there. Two men go up to the temple to pray. Here's a man comes down this aisle, we'll say, and a man comes down this aisle. Now these two fellows are going to pray. One fellow, he's a good prayer. He steps up and he says, Dear Lord, he says, I want to thank you that I'm not an extortioner. I'm honest. I want to thank you, Lord, that I give tithes of all I possess. Hey, fellow over here, are you an extortioner? Are you honest? No, I'm not honest. I'm sort of crooked. I've been pretty crooked. Lord, I want to thank you that I'm not crooked like he is. Lord, I want to thank you. I give 10% of my income. Hey, fella, you give 10% of your income? No, I never have given anything much to God. Lord, I want to thank you. I'm not like he is. Lord, I want to thank you that I keep the law. You keep the law, fella? No, I'm afraid I don't keep the law. Afraid I don't. Well, Lord, I thank you. I'm not like he is. Lord, I thank you. I pray three times a day with my face turned toward Jerusalem. You pray three times a day? No, I'm afraid I don't pray three times a day. Now, this fellow is a good man. He's honest. He goes to church. He prays. He's a good guy. He's the kind of fellow we'd say, boy, he's a good religious man. And this old man over here, he beats his breast. He says, Dear God, be merciful to me, a sinner. In the Greek, what he says is, Dear God, be mercy seat merciful to me, a sinner. Be mercy seat merciful. He goes back to the day when the high priest would walk inside the Holy of Holies and take the blood of that innocent substitute and sprinkle that blood on the mercy seat. And he said, Lord, like you're merciful to the Old Testament people because of the sacrifice of atonement, oh, dear God, be merciful to me, a sinner. I don't tithe, but I want mercy. I don't fast, but I want mercy. I'm an extortioner, but I want mercy. Look, Jesus said, I say unto you, this fellow, yeah, this fellow didn't tithe. This fellow went down to his house justified, and the other fellow went to hell. Now, that means tonight there's a good man burning in hell and a bad man enjoying heaven. Right? A good man in hell tonight for 2,000 years has been burning. A good man. And here's a man who's not as good as this other fellow in any point, who's in heaven and has been enjoying heaven for 2,000 years. Why? I'll tell you why. Because he didn't try to save himself or trust a church or religion to do it. He trusted the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ. Now listen to me. You hear me, and you hear me well. There are people in this house tonight. So if I ask you if you're saved, here's what you would say. You would say, I'm a Lutheran, Missouri Synod. I don't care if you're of the Hawaii Synod or the Lois Lavovia Synod or even the Texas Synod. And if any synod would get you, there'd be the Texas Synod. I don't care what you are. You are a Lutheran, confirmed when you were 12, sprinkled as a baby, been to church every Sunday, take communion regularly, you'll die and go to hell if you've not been born again. I said, you saved? Well, sure. I was in a barber shop one time and I said to the fellow, you been born again? He said, my church doesn't believe like that. And I said, Jesus does, and you better change churches, you're going to go to hell. Oh, this theologian down at Furman University, I want to give him a glorified punch in the nose. He came out and he said, what this generation, and it's a Baptist school, Southern Baptist school, God pity him. He came out in the book and he said that we need a new Bible to fit the modern generation. Boy, wouldn't it be some Bible? I've got one in my office, came from a Lutheran church out in Griffith. You remember that? Lutheran church out in Griffith. I've got one where Jesus said something like, "I dig you, Nicodemus. Come on, all you squares." Yeah, I mean, out here in Lutheran church in Griffith. He said, "Well, Howard, you shouldn't mention the name of the denomination. I'd give the name of the church if I could think about it. I'd call a preacher's name if I could think of it." "Well, I don't like that." "Well, then you figure out some way to lump it the best way you can. Because, listen, we don't need a new Bible to fix this wicked, vile, long-haired, beatnik, mustache, goateed, hippie generation that needs a bath and a haircut. We need a generation who are changed to fit the old Bible. That's what we need." Here's the answer for this old world's need: the Word of God. I mean, just like it's written. We've made our lives as wicked as the devil. I'm ashamed that some of you boys in this church absolutely come to church looking like hippies. Absolutely. Now, I'm not mad at you. I love you. But God pity you, get you a shave and a haircut and look like a decent human being rather than an ape or a baboon out of a Lincoln Park Zoo. You don't like that? Well, I don't either. God help us to have some decency and character again. And what we do is this. We say, by the way, do you know what that long hair is? I'll just go ahead and say, you know what it is? It is a part of the rest of your rebellious nature. A child who rebels against his dad, it is not surprising when he has long hair. Long hair. I was sitting, I'm glad I thought of this, I'm glad you reminded me of it. I was sitting at Bob Jones University last Tuesday at noon, eating a six-course meal. Now, I have six-course meals often, nothing unusual for me. McDonald's French fries, McDonald's hamburgers, McDonald's milkshakes, McDonald's fried pies, and so forth. But anyway, having a delicious, beautiful six-course dinner. I even ate with one hand. Now, boy, that's something for me. I chased that English pea all the way across. But anyway, I was eating a six-course dinner. And so, we were talking, and Dr. Bob Jones Jr. said, I can tell you when a boy is about to get rebellious in school. I said, "How?" He said, "If he lets his hair grow that much longer, invariably, he's about to get in trouble." That's what he said. Of all the way I'm going, I won't be in trouble ever. And the way some of you fellows are, you are sanctified already. But he said that. You say, "I don't like it." Okay, I'll bind you one thing. If you're here tonight with a bunch of long, shaggy hair, I'll bind you one thing. Your dad couldn't take care of you either. And you don't mind mother either. Because when you rebel against God's order that a man has short hair, that is a sign that you've been rebelling against somebody else a long time. Hey, what you do after the service, and I love you. I won't get mad at you. But I'll tell you what, you come to see me in my office after the service with your shaggy hair, and I'll bind you one thing. You have been in trouble with the law, or you have rebelled against your dad and mother, or you and your dad have had a falling out, or you have rebelled against school, or you have had some marijuana on your possession. Now, I dare you to come. I dare you. There is open rebellion. Now, what I'm saying is this. We need to conform ourselves to the Bible. But we don't conform ourselves to mom and dad. We don't conform ourselves to the law. We don't conform ourselves to school teachers. We don't want anybody over us. So then we get the end of the road. We look to God and say, "God, we don't want you either." Anarchy always leads to atheism. Has to. Because atheism is the end rebellion of an anarchist mind. Always is that way. Now, what am I saying? I'm saying that it does not matter how good you are. Salvation is not because you're good. Hell is not because you're bad. Because you fail to yield yourself to God's provision. And so we're trying to change the Bible to fit our own lives, when the truth is nobody goes to heaven who doesn't receive the Christ of the Bible and His salvation as a free gift. Religion continues in the story of a rich man, young man who came to Christ. He said, "Good Master, what must I do to inherit eternal life?" And the Lord listed some of the commandments that he knew the fellow had kept. He said, "Keep these." And the young ruler said, "Well, these have I kept from my youth up." What he said was, "These have I kept since I was the age of this boy over here. From my childhood up, I've kept these." And the Lord said, "Okay." He said, "Go and sell all you have and give to the poor." And he went away sorrowful. What was our Lord trying to show him? Our Lord was trying to show him that he was trying to get to heaven on his own merit, trying to earn his way to heaven. Sunday night, after Sunday night, folks come to this church to visit who get mad at me and go home and cuss a blue streak about me. There are folks in this house right now who will leave tonight and they'll cuss me if I'm right with God. Unless I'm sadly mistaken, I'll be disappointed if folks don't curse me tonight. Why? I'll tell you why. Because the flesh does not want to yield itself to an outside force. The flesh wants to save itself. The flesh says, "I'll doctor myself up, and I'll be good, and I'll go to heaven because I'm good." But if it fails, come here, John. If it fails, here, I'm an unsaved person, and ask me if I'm saved.
Are you saved?
Oh, sure, I'm saved. Boy, I'm a good guy. Pay my debts, and I'm friendly, and I don't owe anybody anything. I'm an honest man. I don't do anything to hurt anybody. But all of a sudden, one day, I do something to hurt somebody, and my flesh says, "I tell you what, I'm not as good as I thought I was." So the next thing I'll do is I'll doctor you up. I'll put a long robe on you, long flowing robe. I'll put a certain kind of turban up here. I'll make you grow a long beard. And I'll put a white deal here and take your tie off. I'll fix you all up and I'll say, "But if I can't save me, I'll find some other flesh to save me." See, if my flesh can't do it, rather than yield to what God has done, I want to find somebody else's flesh that can. You follow me? And that's why we have priests to confess our sins to. We don't want to confess our sins to the true God. We want to confess our sins to flesh, because flesh does not want to humble itself to anything but flesh. So, I'll fix your flesh up. So, I'll confess my sins to you. You see? Now, if that won't work, come here. I'll get some more flesh up here. A whole choir full of flesh up here. All the choir stand. Would you please? All right. Now, boy, we're going to organize a church. A whole bunch of flesh up here. Organize a church. And so I'm going to join this flesh. You see? Either way, it's the flesh wanting to be saved by flesh. Right? Okay. You say, "That won't do it." Okay, then, hey, flesh, baptize me. Would you please? Come on, baptize me, flesh. Both hands. Oh, you're going to sprinkle me. All right, good. That's a lot better. All right. Okay. Now, you see what I've done? First, I've tried to save myself with my own flesh. But my flesh came to the end of its rope and realized it couldn't save me. But rather than turn to He who is not flesh, I turn to other flesh. I doctor up some flesh. And if that won't save me, then I get me a bunch of flesh that I can join. Are you a Christian? Yeah, I'll join the church. Just means I got a lot of more hunks of flesh up here, that's all. But at least I didn't have to trust Jesus. I could trust some more flesh. But that wouldn't do it. I felt like joining the church. Didn't give me the answer. So flesh baptized me or sprinkled me. That didn't do it. Okay, flesh, I want to confess my sins to you, flesh. So I confess my sins to you. That doesn't do it. Well, give me communion, flesh. I want to take communion, okay, from flesh. That won't do it. Look, the whole rat race of religion in the world tonight, all of it, National Council of Churches, liberal preachers, modernistic churches, Bible-rejecting preachers, all of it, is simply a big hunk of flesh trying to figure some way for the flesh to save itself. Whether it's my flesh, his flesh, collected flesh, church full of flesh, confessing your sin to a flesh, all of it is the flesh refusing to yield itself to the Christ who died for it on the cross.
Thank you, Choir.
Now, are you getting what I'm saying? That's why joining the church can't save you, because the church is full of flesh. That's why the preacher or the pope can't save you, because the pope is made of flesh. That's why the rabbi can't save you. He's made of flesh. That's why the communion can't save you. It's administered by flesh. Somebody has got to save you who's not flesh. The Bible says flesh and blood cannot inherit the kingdom of heaven. So God himself, looking down upon man, saw that man was in a predicament, lost and without God, and God clothed himself in human rags, human flesh, that he may pay the price for sin on the cross of Calvary. Our Lord was buried in the tomb and rose again after 3 days and three nights in a perfect glorified body. He alone can save, because he alone is not in the same predicament of flesh and thereby sin in which we each find ourselves as we travel through this life. All right? So the rich young ruler wanted flesh to save him. Religion continues. In Acts chapter 10, when Peter was called to the house of Cornelius, if ever a man ought to have been saved, it was Cornelius. He was a devout man. He was a man that had prayer meeting in his own house. He was a man who read the scriptures. He was a man of prayer. But the Bible says he had to get born again like anybody else. Are you saved? Oh, yes. I say my prayers every night. That doesn't mean you're saved. Are you saved? Oh, yes. I read the Bible all the time. That doesn't mean you're saved. Cornelius was devout, read the Bible, prayed, but he had to get born again. But if false, our religion continues. When our Lord said, in that day many shall say, Lord, Lord, have we not prophesied in thy name? Have we not cast out devils in thy name? Have we not in thy name done many wonderful works? And the Lord shall say, depart from me, I never knew you. What? We did works in thy name, I never knew you. What? We preach, I never knew you, preachers. What? We cast out devils, I never knew you. What? We caused garters to go off the throat, I never knew you. What? We caused blind to see, I never knew you. You see, dear friends, our Lord only, look, there's only one thing in this world that can please God. Listen carefully, one thing. Not a good deed. Not going to church. There's only one thing that makes contact with God's pleasure and God's palate, and that is F-A-I-T-H, faith. The writer of Hebrews said, without faith, it is impossible to please God. The only thing you can do that will please God is put your faith in Jesus Christ. Now, when that faith makes contact with God Almighty, God forgives your sins, writes your name in heaven, and you become a child of God. Religion continues. In the Sermon of the Tares this morning, those church members who look like Christians and talk like Christians and act like Christians but have not been born again, thank God for those folks, the few who came this morning, that dear lady up in years who came and said, I'm a member of this church. I've been baptized, but I don't know that I'm going to heaven. I don't know that I'm going to heaven. I want to be saved. How wise she was. The world is full, as I said this morning, of people who have their names on church rolls but know nothing about the grace of God in being born again. Religion continues today. Last Sunday morning, little babies that knew nothing about it trotted across the altar of churches all across this country. And parents and godmothers and godfathers and goddaughters and godsons and godnieces and aunts and uncles and all the rest of them came and they cried. My baby is getting sprinkled. You know what happened to your baby? Huh? He just got wet. He just needed changing on both ends instead of one. He just got wet. That's all. Am I talking to someone tonight who thinks you're going to heaven because you got sprinkled as a baby? If that's all you have is your hope for heaven, you'll burn in hell forever and ever, because without faith it is impossible to please God. Nobody can do something for you to get you to heaven. Religion continues. Last Sunday morning, Easter Sunday, many a little child had taken catechism classes. By the way, when I came to First Baptist Church, Hammond, 10 and a half years ago, We had catechism classes. Did you know that? They were called catechism classes for children. Now, they meant well, and the way they did it was right. They taught the children how to be saved. They taught them the Word of God. But I don't like the name catechism classes. It denotes something that I don't like. And we had baby dedication services. Now, don't get mad at me, because I'm not mad at you. And if you get mad at me, I'll get mad at you. And I get madder than you do, and I have more chance to get on you than you have to get on me. So it'd be to your advantage to take it like a little man now. But we had baby dedication. Now, we didn't sprinkle the babies. We just did all but that, you see. We didn't hold a dry hand up here and play like we were, but we almost did that. And so the first Sunday we had baby dedication. I'll never forget it. I had it. We had it. Over here in the left corner, there were about 40 people in one family. And one lady walked up to me, and she was crying. And I said, "It's invitation time." I said, "You want to get saved?" She said, "No, I'm the godmother." I said, "You're the what?" She said, "I'm the godmother." Now, I didn't say, "Hail Mary, Mother of God," but "I'm the godmother," she said. And right behind her was a fella, and he said, "I'm a lucky guy." I said, "What?" He said, "I'm the godfather." Oh, brother, forgive me. But I felt like taking my towel, putting my shirt on backwards. That's exactly the way I felt. And so the next time somebody called and said, "Would you dedicate my baby?" I said, "Yes, I'll be at the hospital, and we'll dedicate the baby. Or I'll be to your house. We'll get on our knees, and we'll pray God to make something out of the parents and help the parents to rear the children right." It's not the baby that needs praying for. It's a godless parent. And so they get confirmed, and the little child is sprinkled as a baby and confirmed, thinks he's on his way to heaven. No. Now, don't get mad at me. You're criticizing my church. No, I'm trying to beat some sense into your head and keep you from going to hell when you die. Jesus said you've got to get born again, or you're not going to go to heaven. Religion continues in people trying to live a good life or joining this church or that church. You know, all of this area, we have folks that belong to a certain church because of their nationality. You have the Ukrainian Catholic, the German Lutheran, the Dutch Reform. Let's see, what else you got? Huh? Russian Orthodox. You got the Swedish Baptist, what else? Greek Catholic, Polack Presbyterian. You got, are you a Christian? Oh, yes, my family's always been Ukrainian Orthodox. Said, you a Christian? Yes, yes, we've been Lutheran through the years. Are you a Christian? Now, you say, what are you Independent Baptist? We're a bunch of 57 varieties, alley cats. We're 1/50th German, 1/50th French, and 1/50th Polish, and 1/50th Ukraine, 1/50th Slovak, and we just sort of all the leftovers and the hodgepodgers. But any one thing, brother, we are full blood Christians if we've been born again. You see, Jesus said, or the apostle said, he came with his own, and his own received him not. Now listen. But to as many as received him, to them gave he power to become the sons of God. Not who are born not of the will of the flesh, not of the will of man, but of God. You're not a Christian because you belong to the Russian Orthodox or the German Lutheran. Now, I'll say this. You can be a Christian if you do, if you've been born again. And if you're a Russian Orthodox, you ought to get born again if you're going to stay Russian Orthodox. And if you're a German Lutheran, you ought to get born again if you're going to stay German Lutheran. If you are Presbyterian, you ought to get born again if you're going to stay Presbyterian. Because when the roll is called, only those who've been born again are going to heaven. Well, you say, never the house. That's all very sweet and cute. But we cultured people just don't see eye to eye with you. No, you never will, because you'll be in hell and I'll be in heaven. We won't see eye to eye then either. But if you are a cultured person and not born again, you'll be a cultured person in hell one day. But you say, well, we're more refined. We don't beat the pulpit and holler. Okay. How do you do it? How does your preacher do it? Now I want you to feel at home tonight. Beloved, thou hast been born again, or thou wilt go to hell. It's the same thing. See? How does your preacher do it? Anybody got a bathrobe? I'll wear one. I'll do it like you're used to it. I'll whisper it. I'll shout it. I'll say it dignifiedly. But it all comes out the same thing, brother. And you like it or not, you get mad or not, you go home and say, well, I'll never come back there again or not. But you'd better hear for one time in your life a preacher that's trying to be honest with you when he tells you, if you have not been born again with the Spirit of God, whatever you are, you're lost. You've got to get born again. Have you been born again? Is your name in heaven? I didn't say it on the church roll. Is it in heaven? Religion continues today. There's an end for religion. I don't have time to go into it, but that which was begun in Genesis chapter 11 someday will end in Revelation chapter 17 and 18. And all the false religions of this world shall come together under one great united federation. And the World Council of Churches will be in that day a real World Council of Churches. And all the liberal preachers and all the modernists and all the people that don't believe the Word of God and don't believe the Christ of God and don't believe the virgin birth and don't believe the new birth, all the works crowd will gather together under one head, and that head shall be a beast, the Bible says. A great religious leader that'll be in charge of all religions of the world. And the Bible says, God in heaven shall cry, Babylon the great is fallen, is fallen. And these false religions under the old mother harlot herself, coming back. Listen. As you see the merging of denominations, you mark it down, brother, the coming of our Lord is nearer at hand than ever before. And so, what will happen? Let me see. Let the three of us stand up here a minute, would you? Sort of handicapped without my usual actors here tonight. But now let's see. Let me have this microphone right here. Let's say for a minute that let's all get together here. We all belong to the old mother of harlots, you see. The old Catholic Church, we all belong. Let's see, but except you don't. You and I, we're Catholics, you see, and you're born again. Okay, let's march across over. You don't like this, do you? Well, then you can just sit still and do the best you can to endure it for a while you get the truth for one time in your life. Okay? So let's come on over here. Come on. But we're walking together. But now, the Reformation comes. I'm going to split off from you. I want to. Well, look. Let's fuss about it. I want to split off from you. I'm a Protestant. So the Protestants have split off. Now we have the Catholics over here and the Protestants. Now here we got the fellow been born again. See, they've been there all along. Now watch me. The day is going to come out here, and I'm going to look over and say, "Hey, would you like to have me back with you?"
Yeah, I think you ought to come on back.
I think I'd like to come back, too. We're not as far apart as I thought we were.
I know that we're all brothers.
We really are. Really are. I think I'll just come on back, you see. And so I come back, and I embrace the old mother again, you see. Here's this fellow back here. He's still born again. That's one reason why, if you'll forgive me, Baptists aren't Protestants. Baptists never belonged to the old mother. Baptists have always preached the message of grace by faith in Jesus Christ. Now, when the merge comes, mark it down, brother. The trumpet's about to blow. Now then, here's the fellow over here. We've all gotten together, and we're all in one group now. And here's the fellow born again. And the Lord says, touch not the unclean thing. Don't, it says, come out from the Babylon. Come out from her. Don't touch her. That's one reason why The First Baptist Church in Hammond, as long as this man fills this pulpit, will never belong to the National Council of the Churches, never send one dime to its communistic program, never send one, not use one time its communistic, liberalistic, Revised Standard Version of the Bible. Why? Because God has told us to come out and be separate, and that we plan to do. You see. Now, thank you, fellas. What am I saying? I'm saying that one day soon, religion will merge. Under the guise of love, under the guise of unity, under the guise, but it's nothing in the world but yielding conviction and giving up your conviction and doctrine. And what happens? One day, every person who's not been born of the Spirit of God, trusting religious organizations to save them, will be cast into the fires of hell forever and forever, and those old-fashioned fundamentalists shall be with Christ because they have been born of the Spirit of God. Don't misunderstand me. You can go to heaven and be a Presbyterian. You can go to heaven and be a Catholic. You can go to heaven and be a Lutheran. You can go to heaven and be Russian Orthodox. You can go to heaven and be Greek Orthodox. You can go to heaven and be Ukrainian Catholic. But you can't go to heaven on any group unless you've been born again. Jesus said to Nicodemus, you must be born again. Now look, could I say this lovingly tonight? That's the first thing I've said, lovingly. could I say this lovingly? I'm trying to help you. You know one reason why I beat my head against the post and holler and scream and tell you to like it or lump it? Because I want you to sit up and listen to me. You know another reason? Because you're going to go out tomorrow. Some of you, God bless your little thin heads. You're going to go out tomorrow and you're going to say, well, I'll tell you, last night, I tell you, I never got so mad in my life. I'm just tickled to death about it. And somebody's going to say, why? You know what I did? I heard a bigot preach. And they'll say, what did Hiles preach on? I heard a bigot preach. And they'll say, who? And you'll say, Hiles! I went to worship. And he hollered and screamed and beat the pulpit and said I was going to hell. I almost had a nervous breakdown. Oh. But, and they'll say, what did he say? And you'll say, he said you got to get born again or something to go to heaven. That's why I'm saying it. Like I said, I want you to repeat it because you'll be a preacher before morning's over. You see, you will have taken my message and didn't know it. And all of that, when you say it, that person will say, huh, you got mad, did you? I heard a lot about that fella. You know, I think I'll sneak in some Sunday night. That's why you came. Huh? Oh, the most beloved pastors in town can't get enough folks tonight to even have a service. Everybody loves them. But you said, you drove by the church there many times and said, I wonder if he's as bad as they say. And she said, why don't we go see? And you said, let's go some Sunday night and stay way back in the back. There you are, back there. I see you. Huh? I might be mean, but I ain't dumb. There you are. Now, I've got my seminary outlines, and I could be a little homiletical. But the honest truth is, there beats something in every breast in this house tonight that must live forever. It's got to do it. And I'm your friend, and I want it to go to heaven. I don't want you to go to hell. And I'm willing to make a 100 of you mad at me to get one of you to listen to me and go to heaven when you die. You see, I want to tell you the truth. Because Jesus said, you've got to get born again if you go to heaven. Here, I want to make a deal with you. Okay, you're Lutheran. I don't know why I'm on the Lutherans, but I haven't been on the Lutherans in a long time. But you're Lutheran, all right? Let's make a deal. If you want to go back and stay in the Lutheran church, why don't you get born again tonight and go back and be a born-again Lutheran? Huh? Wait a second for the house. I started saying my father's the priest. I shouldn't say that. I didn't mean to say that. But my father's Episcopalian rector. I go to the Episcopalian. Okay, let's make a deal. Get born again, go back and be a born again Episcopalian. Huh? Well, you said to the house, my church doesn't believe in the new birth. Okay, get born again. I won't tell him you came here. Pretty hot, though. When you get born again, you can't help but tell him you came here. I was out soul winning one day and one lady to Christ, and I said, now you ought to make it public. And she said, how do you mean? I said, you ought to go to a church, walk down the aisle, tell the preacher you've been saved. And she said, well, I go to the Catholic Church, St. John Bosco. I said, well, come on to First Baptist next Sunday, walk the aisle, let me tell the folks you've been saved. No, she said, I've been saved, but I want to do it in my own church. I said, okay. And the next Sunday morning, a lady went to the end of the service at St. John Bosco and walked down and told the priest she'd been born again on Friday afternoon. That went over like a lead balloon, I'm sure. I'm sure it did. But I'm not concerned if you said, for the house, you Baptist.